sometimes hilarious, always Hellenius. It's Keeping Up with Ken Hellenius on Mater Dei Radio.
He is our man at the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, and host of Living Stones, heard right here on Mater Dei Radio, Monday evenings, 7:30, or anytime on your Hail Mary Media app. He is the wondrous Ken Hellenius. Good morning.
Good morning to you, David.
How are you today?
Yeah, I am well, thank you. It's the end of the academic semester here on campus, and so the students are actually, finals begin on Monday, and things are kind of wrapping up for the academic year on campus, and that means all that stands between us and Christmas is an Advent party.
Ah, very nice. So remember those days of studying for finals?
Not fondly. Yes, I do.
Yes, I think all of us say not fondly. That is so true. Hey, I got to ask you, we're doing a big giveaway today on the air a couple of different times, and we are giving away these really tasty fruitcakes from the monks at the Trappist Abbey, Our Lady of Guadalupe in Carlton, Oregon. Are you familiar with these fruitcakes?
I am intimately familiar with those fruitcakes because I actually helped the monks make 675 of them one year when I was on a retreat. At the Abbey. Yeah. And so I asked for, I said I'd love to do a little service and work with the monks while I'm on retreat. And so I got to watch the process. And I'll tell you, when you say that they are delicious, you are entirely right. They are made, first off, the monks, this is a major way that they support themselves.
Right.
And of course, fruitcake is one of those things people make fun of it, but this is a delicious baked good that has lots of nuts and fruit in it. And the best part is they then soak it in brandy.
Yes.
To preserve it. And so, yeah, it's a lovely thing. I actually, when I was working, when I had my job before I entered the Dominicans, we did a little fruitcake tasting, and we tasted a fruitcake from Guadalupe, and then one also from the Trappist Abbey of Gethsemane in Kentucky.
Oh.
And the main difference being that the monks in Guadalupe in Oregon soak their fruitcakes in brandy, which
right.
makes a lot of sense because it's wine country, and mm-hmm. brandy is a,
sure.
a wine product. And of course, as you might imagine, the monks in Kentucky soak theirs in bourbon.
Aha.
So they were both equally delicious. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, the monks at the Trappist Abbey here in Carlton, Oregon, that they informed me that while you were helping them make the fruitcakes, they kept running short on brandy.
And free samples.
And free samples. That's right.
If you're going to offer a free sample of a fruitcake, I'm not going to lie to you. I will probably be standing right next to that little plate.
That is fantastic. We're speaking with Ken Hellenius. Of course, he is the host of Living Stones. You're heard right here, Mater Dei Radio, 7:30 Monday evenings, anytime on your Hail Mary Media app. And, of course, at the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. You lost your football coach.
We did lose our football coach, but as they say, every cloud has a silver lining.
Yeah,
we got a football coach who the team absolutely adores because they hired Marcus Freeman, who was the defensive coordinator, who had literally just come to the team this year.
Yeah,
but he quickly became known as a player's coach. The players loved him, and he has made statements speaking about his desire to be a role model for his students, for his players, not just as a football coach, but also as a family man, as
nice.
A father of a family. And, hope springs eternal at the University of Notre Dame. We haven't yet seen him, of course, coach a single game, but he gets to coach in a bowl game.
Yeah.
It's his very first game as head coach. And we're really excited. He seems like the real deal.
That's great. I think it's the Fiesta Bowl, as I recall, too. That's a big bowl, so that'll be a lot of fun. Excellent.
That gives me something to get out of bed for on New Year's Day.
That's right. Exactly. There you go. Hey, you know, Monday coming up is the Feast of St. Lucy, and or St. Lucia, that another way you can call it. And this has always been kind of a saint near and dear to my heart because my wife, who comes from a Swedish heritage, that's always been a big saint in Sweden, St. Lucia. They do the Festival of Lights, and they'll crown St. Lucia with a thorn or with a crown of candles on her head, and it's part of the imagery of St. Lucia. But tell us a little bit about St. Lucy.
Yeah, so I myself have a Swedish background, and this is how I first encountered St. Lucy. Was at a Lucia Fest at the Swedish Club in Seattle, and it always takes place here in the winter. St. Lucy is an early Christian martyr. She was martyred in 304 during the final Christian persecutions that the Romans did before Christianity became legalized, so under the Diocletian persecution. She was born in Sicily in the town of Syracuse. So she's officially known as St. Lucy of Syracuse. We commemorate her in the Eucharistic prayer. So she is one of the eight martyr saints listed in the Eucharistic prayer when we pray and ask for the prayers of Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia, and all the saints. She was born to Christian parents. They were rather wealthy, but at a young age, she privately consecrated herself to God and made plans to distribute her dowry to the poor. But her widowed mother didn't know of her plans. And so she arranged marriage for young Lucy to the son of a wealthy pagan family. And so then when Lucy began to fulfill her vow by giving her dowry to the needy in her town, her betrothed got word and denounced her to the Roman authorities. And again, remember, the emperor Diocletian was the last of the Roman emperors to persecute the Christians. Tradition tells us that when the guards came to take her away, they couldn't even move her, even when they hitched her to two oxen. And so eventually they stacked bundles of wood around her and set her on fire, but the wood wouldn't burn. And so finally she met her death by having a sword thrust into her throat. Later traditions tell us that under torture, they actually gouged her eyes out, but that her eyes were miraculously restored. And as a result of this legend, she's the patroness of the blind and those with eye ailments. And so we think about, well, why would any of this have to do with candles and light? December 13th is her feast day. And before the reform of the calendar under Pope Gregory in the 16th century, this was actually the winter solstice.
Right.
So this was the shortest day of the year. And Lucy, whose name in Latin is Lucia, it's the same word for light. Lucy symbolized the light that shines in the darkness. And so that's the connection to Lucy being light and crowning with, you know, candles in Lucia Fest in Scandinavian countries. And so this is a major feast. It's also, of course, a major feast in Sicily, her home island. And they eat a particular dessert that is served on this day alone. It's called cuccia. And it's made of wheat berries, butter, sugar, chocolate, and milk. The large grains of wheat represent Lucy's eyes. So this is kind of the image that you see in iconography of Lucy, is often a young woman holding a palm, which is the symbol of martyrdom, and carrying a golden tray with two eyes on. So that's the feast that we celebrate here on the 13th of December.
Wonderful story. Ken Hellenius with us again, the host of Living Stones, heard right here on Mater Dei Radio, 7:30 Monday evenings or anytime on your Hail Mary Media app. Well, Ken, great to talk with you today. Always appreciate it. Thank you for the information on St. Lucy. Again, that's coming up on Monday, and we hope you have a very wonderful and blessed weekend.
You too. Happy Gaudete Sunday, which is coming up too. So
that is correct.
We're cruising through Advent and getting closer and closer to the actual light of Christ, which comes. So happy Advent to you, David.
Thank you, Ken. God bless.